Right, hello everyone. I'm here with Yiz this evening to give a sort of conversation that, I don't know, hopefully should be mildly interesting. Thanks everyone for showing up as per usual, the channel members and whatever everyone else that helps to keep all this stuff kind of moving along and gives us a reason other to do it than for the sake of just autism. I know you hate it, Yiz, but there is, of course, the Streamlabs as well, if anyone's feeling particularly generous.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, Discord just it told me that there was no mic for a second for some reason. That didn't happen in pre-show. Anyway, yes, I don't like Streamlabs because they were bad to friends of mine. They were bad to me and terminated my account for wrong think. I don't like Streamlabs, but by all means, I like Evelyn. Please give her money.
I like where your priorities stand. That's good by me. Well, how has your event gone that you were doing on the weekend then? If people did
Oh,
not know.
it was just lovely. There was about 25, 26 of us. It was 7 or 8 people from the Shieldlings event in Nashville a couple months ago. It was 5 or 6 people from the American Patriot Pleb community I'm part of. And it was about 10 or 11 people from the No White Guilt, White Wellbeing community. And then a couple of local people that I know. And the point of it was just to start getting people together. The White Wellbeing community calls me Yiz the Unifier instead of Yiz the Eunuch. You could thank Donald Kent of American Zarathustra for that. And my goal is to unite people that all want the same things and bring people together for the well-being and the love of their people. And I thought, what better way to do that than hosting annual events where I invite people I know from different clusters to come together to celebrate and to see that despite our differences of opinions or what we think needs to be done the most, we all are the same people that want the same things, and we should unify around that. So that's the purpose of my meetups and whatnot. So it was a wonderful success. We couldn't have had better weather. There were no problems at all. It was just great. Just a great wholesome time. And Jason Kuna, the writer of the No White Guilt Go Free book that I like, he was there with his girlfriend, and I'll be on his stream later tonight celebrating the same. And of course, after our stream, I'm going to be doing a community stream on my channel about this too. So it was a wonderful time, but it was 2 days of me laughing and talking and grilling outside. So my voice is a little strained and shot today. I do apologize for that, but there's nothing I could do about it.
Sorry, I'm still recovering from whatever my immune system had to do war with. Nomos, the week last on or in Birmingham, I should say, which
Yeah, I heard that went good.
I'm afraid we couldn't get around to doing like a sort of wrap up stream for that because John's ended up with the flu, so something must have been floating about. But everyone's lived, so no, that I think it went incredibly well. Actually, there was
Good.
not one sour face amongst that entire room, and everyone seemed, very engaged with the speeches and whatever else. So, I can have no complaints, other than a few things about the venue that maybe weren't 100% up to scratch, but we worked around those. So I just want to thank once again the people that came out for that, who we asked to speak, and also the people that bought tickets and came to it, because without all those people, there is no event. There's just me and John hiring a room and losing lots of money. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
I will also quickly post in the chat a link to the Substack post for the speech that I wrote as the introduction for that event as well, which a few people seem to enjoy.
Well, I'm sure it's erudite and lovely, like everything else of yours I've read.
Appreciated. My biggest fan. I'll make sure to slip you that tenner later on once we're done.
Drop me a fiver there.
Oh,
Or
no.
drop a lady, as the Cockneys say. Drop me a lady.
Well, where should we start then? I mean, I shall
Well, let's
we?
start with this wonderful thumbnail you made for us. Why don't you tell people why you chose this great thumbnail?
Purely and simply because I know you would appreciate some form of historical reference to eunuchs.
I don't know exactly who's being referenced in the photo in the meme picture here. But I am pretty sure that it's supposed to be late stage Roman Empire when eunuchs ran the bureaucracy. I think that's what that's supposed to indicate, right?
This is something around that time, yes. I don't know, I'm sure if we could go and ask Apostolic Majesty, he would know, because he knows all. That, yeah, that are,
he
Marcus.
He knows everything about history. It's
Marcus
true.
Would know too.
Well, unless there's a natural segue point, would you like me to just take a couple minutes and let people know why I chose the moniker eunuch to get that out of the way?
Yeah, I suppose it kind of at least begins to get into the position that we both kind of hold on certain things, so go ahead.
Certainly, certainly. To let people know the underpinning of why I am some kind of mutant, I am not a spiteful mutant. I'm not one of Edward Dutton's spiteful mutants, but I am a mutant. Like many people, I'm a product of the ashes. My grandmother immigrated over from Eastern Europe, and she was subject to experimental Soviet fertility drugs, and that made her have strange issues with child rearing. That exact problem carried over to my mother. She had a warped, tiny uterus, and the doctors in America told her that she should not try to get pregnant. It would likely result in an aborted fetus, but maybe even her death. But being extraordinarily religious and wanting to be a mother, she tried for about 10 years to get pregnant, and finally she did with me when she was 30 years old. So my mother's almost is a little over 70 now. And I was healthy other than being intersex. I have really good genetics. I'm smart. I'm healthy. I have, you know, good blood pressure, no other issues or anything. But I did have a vascular and a gonadular mutation, as well as a genital mutation. And I had nothing but problems from all of that. My father was extraordinarily traditional, and he was a bit abusive, but not like in a sexual way, not like in a, you know, he beat me with a stick and spit on me type way. But he was very harsh and controlling and spiteful to me because he wanted a hyper-masculine son that would be an even greater man than he was, and I was an effeminate little pipsqueak that people confused for being a girl, even though they didn't raise me to be one. My natural voice and how I acted, people in class and people in public thought that I was his daughter, and he resented me for that. And it was a bone of contention between us, but I am thankful for how he raised me. When I got to puberty age, around 10 years old, I grew about a foot and grew hips and breasts. And then he resented me and hated me more. And the issue with my gonads is I have the condition that used to be called hermaphroditism. It's called ovotestes or ovotestis primaris, where my primary gonad, and I say gonad singular because this condition almost always presents with only one functional gonad and another one that's atrophied and, you know, almost nothing. And an ovotestes spits out random amounts at random times, both testosterone and estrogen. So during my developmental years, I had night terrors, I had hot flashes, I was either crying and miserable or angry and ready to fight and burn down everything. And eventually when I was 17 and a half, I think, or 18, I found an intersex specialist and a hormonal developmental specialist about 50 miles from where I grew up that helped analyze my problem. He told me about intersex conditions, and we tried some different hormone treatments, and which resulted in surgery to remove my problematic gonads. And so my life didn't really start feeling normal until I was like 20 or 21. And I tried doing testosterone, but apparently my body is just insane when you put androgens in it. The intersex guy said I had DHEAS levels that were like five times normal. And DHEAS is the activator for fight and flight response. So any amount of androgen in my blood just made me constantly paranoid and aggressive, even at like one-tenth the dose of what a normal male should have. So we decided to, since you have to have a primary hormone, we went with the estrogen. And that's why I've been an estrogen creature ever since. So
see,
why did I choose the
I would say that's go more ahead. That's more along the lines of the terminology I would go for. There is the other term, the estrogen N word, which is always a favorite of mine.
Yeah, and technically I think that what I am physically used to be called an androgene, G-Y-N-E after the word andro. That's what this old doctor called me, but he might be dead now because I think he was 60 when I met him 24 years ago. So he may have passed on, but he said that I was an androgene. I was a textbook androgene, and they tested my genetics. They wanted to do further testing, but I didn't have insurance, and it would have cost like $2,000 for all the genetic testing. But from just a little swab that he had on hand, he said I definitely had XXY or XXYY from the results that came back, and I didn't want to pay for further testing because I didn't really care. I don't care about what genetics testing tells me. I just wanted to be healthy and as healthy as I could to have a good life. So why did I choose the title, the moniker eunuch? Well, as I got older, I wanted to find people like me. I wanted to learn things. I wanted to explore and see if I could find people that had that shared some parts of my awful developmental experience. And of course, being the late 90s and early aughts, that was really when the people who cared about all transsex issues that was the beginning of them being overtaken by the new guard of, and of course, you know what I'm talking about, the anti-whites who call themselves feminists or Marxists or whatever. They actually started pushing out people that were scientists and doctors and counselors that actually wanted to help and fix the problems that people like me had. And, you know, they just want to weaponize it for things that I'm sure we will talk about later in the stream. But through that arc between like 2001 to 2010, I discovered that I was not what most people thought of as a trans person, because almost all the trans people I met were not like me and didn't share my background. They many of them, about 1 out of 10, had developmental issues and gender issues that presented when they were very young, like 3 to 5 years old. And the sympathies I had with those few people showed me that there are people out there that are not crazy and that do have issues like mine. But the majority of the people that I was meeting, it was like they had a whole bucket of other issues, and then the gender stuff was just a sprinkle on top of their other bucket of insanity.
The way I've always tried to explain that to some people is that, you know, you can have dissociation with the form mm-hmm. and dissociation with the self. And, you know, one of those is a sort of material issue in a certain sense, and the other one is an issue with your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, so, just to add a bit more explanation.
No, I would love to get into all this with you, but I know that I ramble. I'm Southern, and I have the gift of gab, so I talk a lot. But to walk this to something actionable as the current dissident me that I became, between 2010 and 2020, I started really noticing things, and that was the beginning of my red pill journey. Excuse me. And give me just one second. My lovely mother, who I mentioned earlier, is just handing me food. thank you very much, mother. I appreciate that. But like I was said earlier, my journey on red pilling and becoming a dissident was really between 2010 and 2020, because I wanted to make my own family. I wanted to build my own life. And so I left my mountain area here in Appalachia to try to build with other sane intersex or trans people in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it didn't go well. I learned that no matter how much you try to make something traditional with not traditional people, it is impossible. And it was that realization that said, hey, maybe all of this framework of ideas that I have been lied to my whole life, now that I know that I've been lied to, about everything from God and religion and the necessity of the natural order, what progressivism really means, what liberal democracy really means, I learned that everything that I had built as my foundation was a dirty anti-white lie. And my whole life started to crumble around me around 2012, 2013, when the very people that were supposed to love me and supposed to advocate for mutants like me began attacking me and destroying my life and destroying my family, the family I was trying to build, not my biological family. And all of that basically crumbled in 2014 to 2015. And that was really when I said, you know what? This is enough. I have to stop. And that is when I left all of the trans people, all of the trans and intersex friends I'd made. I stopped doing activism. I stopped trying to make a difference. I stopped trying to do everything that I was doing because I realized I was part of the problem. All the things that I did, no matter my best intentions, no matter how traditional and natural order minded I was inside the narrative that evil people that hated me controlled. And I said, I have to leave this. And so I came back to the mountains. And in doing so, I said, well, my life's been destroyed by these jackals. My life's been destroyed by these anti-whites who call themselves all these words under the sun. So I'm going to have a public voice and a public name that departs from all of that. And I'd always known the word eunuch, and I liked that word. And I knew that eunuchs have been many things throughout history, sometimes sad cases, sometimes not. But a eunuch, the traditional, the dissident traditional take on a eunuch is not a man. But a eunuch is also not a woman. And that's what I've been my whole life. And so with my public voice, I knew that I would be speaking to everyone from neo-fash and NatSoc communities to the dissident right to the disaffected liberals. And the main issue that I had with all of the trans cancer is it was based entirely on evil delusions. And I didn't want people to think that I thought I was something that I'm not. And I don't want people to think I pretend to be something I'm not. So I thought of how to put that in a single word that I could put as a channel title or something to do with my name. And that's where I got Yiz the Eunuch from. Yiz is like my nickname that's a shortened version of my actual name. And I go by Yiz the Eunuch. So Two other reasons about why I like Eunuch is Eunuch makes trans activists and trannies really angry. They hate that word. And so that's funny to me, and I like comedy. Number two, the positive eunuchs, the positive angle to eunuchs in history is they support and work in service to greater men who do great things. And I thought, what better underpinning to my name and why I want to have a public voice than going by eunuch? Because I am old, I'm a mutant. The only thing I have are my ideas and my voice. I've lost my career, I lost my money, I lost my home, I lost all the people that I tried to build. Part of it my own fault. So all I have to do now is to support the younger men who hopefully will fix this and win this war that we're in and build us the future that we should have. So I now work in service to greater men and the men who hopefully will create the actual elites and the tens that AA talks about. So that's why I chose Eunuch as a moniker. And hopefully that gives everybody listening a good perspective of my unsullied perspective. This is where I am. This is why I am and why I have a public voice. I care about my people. I care about what's right. I care about what's true. And in that pursuit, I wanted to choose a name that fit all of that. So there we have it, Evelyn. I know that was like a 10-minute mouthful, but there it is.
Nah, you can talk the legs off a donkey, but fair enough. No, but I think it's worth putting the sort of perspective across. I don't know. I probably shan't go into my own story too much myself, because I think people already have somewhat of a grasp of really where I am, and I would rather get into maybe some of the meat and bones of what I think is possibly a worthwhile discussion to have.
Certainly.
I mean, I think that, you know, the way I framed it when I posted on Telegram was sort of that there are people within the sort of distant right spheres that take up a number of attitudes I think are possibly very counterproductive, or possibly even...
Are we going to start naming names? Because I have a few.
No, I don't plan on doing that. But people will either know or they won't. But it's more just the only reason why we're really doing this stream is just because there seemed to be a... I mean, I know for a fact there was a big wave of it in AA's Telegram for several days, just constantly discussing both yourself and myself. For
he got a lot of pushback the first time he gave me a platform too.
Which I don't know, that will always be the thing, but I would rather it weren't, for a number of reasons I think make quite clear sense that I just don't see getting discussed. I mean, that there is obviously the completely untenable and radical position, or the supposedly radical position of, you know, just get rid of the gays from society. Which is just never going to work. I mean, it's like trying to get rid of a certain eye color or a certain skin color, or, you know, not only is it the path to a very totalizing and sort of complete set of politics that overrides a society, it's also just kind of impossible. I mean, you can't cull an aspect of what some people wouldn't like to admit is a natural aspect of human behavior.
It is, exactly. I was going to bring up the natural order here again. The reason why I have ethical issues with wanting to purge people of traits they didn't choose. I do not support ethnic cleansing. I do not support pointing the finger and using tactics of hating an entire group. That's why, despite the memes and the jokes, I never rail against the Jews or the blacks or the immigrants as an entire group, because most people never choose to be those things. It's how they grow up, it's how they're born, and that kind of thing. And if I'm going to poo-poo a certain group because of their ethnicity or their race or their religion or whatever, then I'm using the same evil tactics as the anti-whites who hate all of us just for our race. And so I don't truck with that on an ethical level. But also from an intellectual standpoint, thinking that a person can completely eliminate gender oddities or someone having homosexual feelings or whatever, that is felonious. Like, those things are going to exist unless someone has the power to completely alter and control the entirety of the human genome. And I think that you at least have to acknowledge that within the natural order of things, or the divine order if you're a Catholic monarchy type, within the divine order, there are many things in God's world. And just like how I am not a racial or ethnic purist, because within the natural order, the fringes of ethnicities intermarry and intermix at a tiny rate, but that's part of nature. Like, that's how you have, that's why borders of certain ethnicities, the way things used to be at least, was you could tell when you lived in a border between two different peoples because the cultures and the genetics were mixed a little bit. And if you try to defy the natural order, well, there's two paths to do that with: complete and total violent annihilation, or ideological purity spiraling that will end in failure. So that's why intellectually and truthfully, I don't think that it is even possible to eliminate the gay or to have a racially pure, perfect ethno state. I don't think it can ever happen. It's just not possible.
Just quickly thank Matthew Ivey for his $10 super chat. He's just saying, starting my journey from Cali to Missouri today, leaving this hellhole for the Eden of the Ozarks. You're the first gym I listened to on the trip. Thanks for the entertainment on a 27-hour drive. A very American moment.
Yeah,
if I drove for 27
that's about
hours,
how long it takes me to get from the mountains out to Albuquerque. It's about 27 hours. Yeah,
God, that's grim. But I mean, I'm just, when you were speaking there, I had this flash image in my head of like really weird, like futurist fascist types writing some sort of a think piece on how we're going to crack the human genome to, you know, eradicate homosexuality. You're literally going to try and do God's work to do God's work in a certain sense.
Yeah, there's also, if you're a Christian, that is also a sin of hubris. It's a sin of putting yourself above God, and you shouldn't do that. Like, not only should you morally not do that, it is a fallacy to do that, because you will fail. And you will fail spectacularly, and people will know that.
Well, see, the further point from that, though, is that there are a subset of people who exist on a number of different positions, who I believe, if you were to run, say for example, if the Conservative Party in Britain ran on a campaign that was very, like, you know, publicly anti-LGBT, were stomping political correctness and blah 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 blah, and that during that all they did was put through a couple of very milquetoast laws about, well, you can only teach homosexuality to children of age 10 and over, or some nonsense like that, that right. You're ultimately settling for...
You mean not sense.
Yeah. you're settling for something that's not, you know, it's not what we want. It shouldn't be what we want as right-wingers, just to go back to 1960 when the gays were in the closet. Because, you know, the era of 1960 has so many other systemic problems that are the things that we should really recognize as problems as people who are from the right. I mean, as you mentioned,
because
in
the 60s, all of the institutions were already full of anti-whites, and we already had civil rights and women's suffrage, and that the natural order was already shattered. The patriarchy was already broken by the 60s. Yeah. And just to bring it up real quick, the idealistic nuclear family, the 1950s, do not be tricked by that. That is an anti-white psyop. The entirety of the push for the nuclear family was the Marxism that Americans would buy at the time. Because when you look at all of the atomic family, all of the things in the TV shows, the public messaging, every man a king of his own tiny little castle. It never talked about building big community. God was never a part of that. Homeschooling was never a part of that. It was all materialist cancer to atomize communities and break family communities apart and make everyone competing individuals.
You can thank Edward Bernays for that one.
It's been a psyop from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. No, so you can thank Edward Bernays for that one.
I just like to speak my piece about that, because a lot of conservative-minded people don't realize that, but that's the truth.
But I just think there is some caution to be had around, you know, focusing on what we could... I mean, I don't want to minimize the effect that teaching whatever sexual content to children has. I mean, that is an immoral thing. I could never abide by it. And I understand that a number of people who are behind this sort of phenomenon aren't in it for politics. They're in it for their own sick and twisted ideas. I'm not denying that in any way, shape or form. However, if we spend all of our energy and all of our time fighting the small amount of, you know, pro-LGBT material in schools and pro-LGBT material in mass media, then, you know, someone like a Ron DeSantis or a Viktor Orban, even if they genuinely are with us and they spend all their time fighting this, how are they then going to, you know, deal with structural things at the Great Reset?
Yeah.
or just the problems of modernity that just happen to currently exist, be it the problem of international fiat finance and how that's ruined production structures across the globe. You know, these are possibly the problems we want to maybe consider solving, not what is the better alternative for teaching people in public schools.
I think you and I both are against
Oh
public schools in general, though, right?
no, of course. I mean that
Okay.
sort of goes without saying, but to then to take what are very small things as wins, you know,
Oh
to see it
no, I
as
wasn't trying to I wasn't trying to skirt the topic. I'm just make just bringing that up that being against public schools, like that's it's not a win when I don't know. It's like saying, well, my house is on fire and someone comes along and pees on it. Well, okay, yeah, maybe 1% of my home isn't going to burn down now, but the house is still burning down. So having any wins, any minor political wins, it's not a win at all. It's just perpetuating the bread and circuses of left versus right politics. And nobody wins that game until that game's over and we build something better.
Or we destroy everything.
Yeah.
Either one of the two. I mean, of
Well,
course,
I
that's
tend to be
the.
white pilled. I think we're going to win, so I don't talk
Of
about that.
course we are. Failure is not an
Right.
option. But I, as I was saying to you when we were discussing beforehand, before we started, that I mean, I could see it being a likely strategy that the powers that be that currently exist prop up public figures who are known anti-SJWs and anti-trans and TERFs and this, that, and the next thing, so that they can, you know, skew and vent political energy away from the things that they are doing. And that through that, and through very clear and obvious agitprop, that they can agitate people away from issues they would otherwise care about. And because, as again we discussed before, it's always the worst examples in media. It's never just like, you know, normal gay people or normal lesbians or normal people who just happen to also be trans. As normal as that can be, quote unquote. But
Yeah.
you know, it is always very dysgenic and sort of disruptive and ultimately, you know, spiteful mutants. It is never people that you could maybe consider normal in any sense that are portrayed in media, and I don't think that's just an accident. Maybe you want to expand on that.
What exactly do you want me to expand upon?
Well, no, you made the point earlier on rather well, the fact that, you know, that there is a deliberate, concerted effort to make sure that, you know, it's not just examples of it, but it's the most fringe and far out there examples, because, you know, much like the case of education, some of these people are just sick and twisted and are
Yeah,
doing it for their
we
own.
talked on this a bit before the stream as well when we were discussing what the our ideas, and I do think that it is evident to me now, knowing what I know and what I've experienced with the anti-whites who call themselves, you know, LGBT or trans activists and all that. These people are sick, and most of the time they aren't trans and they aren't homosexual. These are bug men. And despicable females that are just terrible products of Bio-Leninism. They are spiteful mutants that would be using something else if it wasn't trans or gay stuff. They'd be using something else. And I think that they want dopamine hits and they want to Bio-Leninistically keep their station that they don't deserve. And how do they do that? They do that by always using the most edgy, the most disgusting, and the most unpalatable examples they can find, because they believe in doing so, the way their sick mind works with Bio-Leninism, they believe that that is how they are going to ensure to self-propagate their position in the hierarchy. And I don't know if you guys know much about Bio-Leninism. This might not make much sense. I'm going to segue to spiteful mutants. Spiteful mutants are like this too. They're basically the same thing as a product of Bio-Leninism, but the spiteful mutants, we in the dissident community oftentimes don't make a distinction. But if you're talking about Bio-Leninism, there is kind of a distinction. You have people that prey upon this phenomenon that help cause it, and then you have the people who are the spiteful mutants and who are the bug men that are being used by people who actually do have legitimate power in station. And who do I mean by that? The media class, the Brahmin class, which are the experts now, politicians, people that run universities. They know that the more that they use these spiteful mutants, this product of Bio-Leninism, the more clicks they get, the more funding they get, the more virtue signaling they can do. And it's just sort of a disgusting storm of, we need to make money, we need dopamine hits, we need to self-propagate this disgusting system. And so all of these intersex and trans people that only had some kind of genetic or some kind of other environmental issue that led them to having some gender problem, but otherwise they're okay, and they've made a normal go of life, and to look at them, you wouldn't know that they were trans or intersex, and they don't seem like a pervert or a degenerate. They look like a normal person. None of us are actionable to them. We are just as much of an enemy as a regular heterosexual person.
Mm.
They don't want us. They hate us because they can't use us for that disgusting storm of what I just described. Would you agree with what you've experienced at your young age already?
No. I mean, exactly. It leads right into a point that a number of people have made. And I think it's one that needs to be kind of understood and maybe accepted more, is that you, by being part of the, as we keep referring to it, sort of dissident sphere, you're going to end up getting people from different groups who don't, you know, you don't fit into the mold that's been pre-made for them. So if you are a trans person, a black person, or a Jewish person, you know, there is a mainstream societal and uniform mold that you are roughly meant to fit in. Now, maybe the constraints around that mold will change depending on which sort of identity or whatever it is for. But if you don't want to fit the shape of that mold, then, you know, you're going to stand out because you're not doing as everyone else does. And yeah, you will either, you know, you will stand out not just from society as a whole, but also within your group. So you are on sort of two levels disaffected. You're a dissident both within your own kind and within society as a whole. And where else are all these people going to get caught up in? They will get caught up in these circles that we exist in, where people who maybe aren't dissenting because they don't fit into a mold, but because they don't agree with a set of ideas. And we end up in the same space because of that, despite the fact that we have, you know, different
absolutely
singular drivers that started that.
And let me rattle some cages more now, because some people listening right now might be pissed, but I know people that will hear this tertiarily through other circles will be upset at this. But it is the dissident. It is the truth seeker. It is our sphere who care about actual, let's call it biodiversity. Okay? We want the ethnicities to be ethnicities. We want ideas and thoughts to grow and to emerge and to be tested in the patriarchy. Men test their metal, men test their ideas together. That's how they compete. I talked to Red Hawk about this recently on a stream. And when you realize that there are going to be this broad range of diverse creatures and people on Earth, that is a truism. If you are against that and want to purge it, I don't think that you're part of the dissident sphere anymore. I don't think that wanting to, like we talked about earlier, exclude people because of a genetic trait or a race or a religion they couldn't control, not only is it unethical, but it can't happen. So that means it's outside of the sphere of observing the natural order.
Mm.
And also there's a tactical reason that we talked about before the stream that I'll go into right now. There is a tactical, actionable reason to not throw out people like me and Evelyn from the dissident sphere. Think about every king, every state, every intelligence agency that you know now. They all want to have someone who is a flip or a mole that is naturally part of the group they want influence, power, or dirt on. People like Evelyn and myself, we are genuine. You can tell by our actions. You can tell by our words. You can tell by the people who build with us in person. We are genuinely part of a healthy dissident sphere. We also came from a very unique series of biological and social experiences that gives us inside information and experience that allows us to have genuine testimony and excellent ways to think and frame the kind of ideas of attacks that our enemies give us through this vein of gender and sex nullification. So that's why people like Evelyn and I, not only is it unethical and illogical to want to exclude people like us who are tested and proven, but it's also shooting yourself in the foot because you're denying yourself actionable assets.
Yes.
To put it in CIA terms.
And
but go ahead.
With a term, you know, again, a term I'm borrowing from AA, this notion of the unsullied. I mean, if you want to have the sort of, as you described it, that sort of 1950s, 1960s neoconservative ideal of tradition, which is the, you know, the 2.4 kids and make sure you send them to college and be middle class and, you know, live the what we are told is supposed to be the archetypal male lifestyle, you are sullying your ability to be both a political dissident. You know, your ability to, I mean, this is a point I made in my speech at Nomos, you know, things like a mortgage and family and, you know, raising children are fantastic prophylactics against radical behavior, or sorry, radical politics and radical organization.
Indeed.
And again, this is one of the reasons why people should maybe expect there to be folk like ourselves. And I'm not saying there's going to be loads of us or expect them all to come out of the woodwork, but
right.
There should be no surprise that both me and yourself possibly play a very sort of limited role that exists in our circles as people who actually organise events. I mean, for the number of people that are in our circles, outside of basket weaving and shieldings, no one else is really organizing people on any grand scale.
And that's why I wanted to go into my history earlier when I told you why I chose the eunuch moniker, is I've lost everything I tried to build. I obviously can't become impregnated. I can't impregnate. I am unsullied. I am not held by family bonds. I lost my entire career. I lost the holdings that I bought in Albuquerque. I lost everything that I tried to build. I am completely unsullied, and the only thing left in me now is to try to just have a peaceful, older life with my husband and the people that I try to build locally with. And all of my time and career energy now is put into fighting this war and trying to organize and educate young people, because hopefully from them will arise the great men that we need to lead us towards victory. And the unsullied, the wise unsullied can be a great ally in this community. It also goes well with that meme, the Sigma Grind Set.
Yeah, no, there was that whole Alpha, Beta, Sigma, Gamma stuff was going around for ages, and I think it was at some point last year anyway, and I think my friend just messaged me out of the blue at one point and being like, maybe you're just a Sigma male, and I was like, what? What are you on about?
What is that? Yeah. I don't know about how the manosphere or the red pill guys use those terms. I don't know how it all works, but I know enough to know that I think that Sigma means a man who is purposefully eschews the pursuit of women and creating a family to heighten his male achievements and not be pulled back, I guess. Maybe the Sigma grind set or whatever is like the male version, like the hardcore hierarchical climbing male version of the unsullied, I guess. I don't know. But again, don't quote me on any of that, because I've not read any of the Manosphere stuff, and I'm only picking up what I know from being Red Hawk's friend, so.
See, I would also suggest that there's a deeper level of the unsullied when you're no longer attracted to women as well, but that's maybe a discussion for a different time. I mean, I don't know. There was a little bit of Evola I wanted to discuss. I don't know if we maybe want to get into that now.
Please.
But again,
well, if you'd like to bring it up, we can. Sure.
Yeah. To consider, maybe I'll just sort of maybe give a bit of context for it. You know, if people are going to make the argument that people like ourselves, you know, for disregard for a moment the veracity of the argument. If people like ourselves are a product of the ashes or a product of modern conditions or however you want to describe it.
I call it anti-whitism or anti-Western agenda because all of the different elements and building blocks of it, destroying God, destroying the family, turning ethnicities and races on each other, the nullification of meaning, the nullification of culture, it all stems from the same hate. The hate and the jealousy of the unquestionable success of Western kind.
But
I just call it the anti-Western agenda or anti-whitism.
Yeah, you know, anti-white, liberalism, whatever the that you're pointing at. I think especially if you really want to get into the perspective that Evola is trying to discuss in a sort of perennial framework, you know, you're talking about the decline in a grand metaphysical scale. And if you grasp that whatever decline we are existing through is on that such a scale, then, it has a total effect. And it's not just me and you that are products of it. We all
it's
are.
Everyone.
So
it's
maybe
all of us, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the effect, to a certain extent, people are only seeing in folk like ourselves the end point or some further stage along the path. But in a certain sense, as we will get to here, I'm going to quickly scroll through this. This is from, pardon me.
No problem.
Evola's
no problem.
Book, The Bow and the Club, or shall we say not his book, it's a collection of essays, The Bow and the Club. I would recommend this, though. This is a very nice introduction to a lot of the different ideas that Evola touches on in a lot of his different works. And you could probably read through this, and if you the essays you prefer the most would kind of indicate what stuff from him you could go read, because I know he has loads, and I haven't read it all myself. But there is, if I can find the page, the PDF never lines up with the bloody book. Yes, there is a chapter called The Third Sex, where he discusses his regards to homosexuality. It's one peculiar trait worth noting, is no longer limited, as was largely the case in the past, to the upper classes. Artists, aesthetists, decadent pursuers of perversions and deviant experiences, but had come to affect the so-called simple folk in the lower classes. Only the middle class has been spared, at least to some extent. And he goes on to discuss how he sees sexuality, and that homosexuality to him doesn't exist in certain cases, because for him, men and women must exist around each other as sort of magnetic poles. So to him, as he goes further on, a man that is, illustrate this with an example, a man who's three quarters man and one quarter woman will find himself irresistibly magnetically attracted to a woman who's three quarters woman and one quarter man. For the sum is the case, would be precisely one absolute man and one absolute woman. And, this is him talking about sort of the metaphysical aspect of it, things he talks about a lot more.
Metaphysically, the Kali Yuga dissolves all things through entropy. And yes. even the barriers of thought, the barriers of gender, the natural order that I so love. All of that, if you believe in the spiritual, cycle of things, all of that will dissolve. And that's why so many people like Philosophicat and Semiagog, the more spiritual big brains in our dissident community here, they talk about this in the Kali Yuga terms. We can see like the bug men, all of the transgender crap, all of this dissolving of family and people wanting to be children forever, or the trans ageism and all this crap. It, even though we do have people actively pushing it, I think this kind of thing will be getting worse on its own anyway. Even if you didn't have the anti-white agenda pushing it, with how we have seen the swell of technology, with how we have seen what happens when global communications, the internet, global trade, everything is just sort of slowly on its way to becoming this entropic ball of unrecognizable matter. And that, to me, speaks to the spiritual Kali Yuga and what Evola is getting at here.
Mm. No, just as a point, who's there in chat? It's Zed Vit FR or whatever. The normalization of transgenderism on the D-right is subversive in a profound way, far more effective than leftist propaganda. Who's normalizing
Zedvedev? Is Zedvedev here? Is that who that is?
I'm not too sure. But I would ask him just the question of who's normalizing it. I mean, is my existence or Yiz's existence in these circles normalizing this to you? Just because you've never met anyone that is that. Is that all the problem is there, possibly? But anyway.
I would like to speak on that for just one second, if I would.
Okay.
Mine and Evelyn's voice does not normalize anything. The billions of dollars And thousands upon thousands of powerful people pushing this is what has normalized it. Evelyn and I are doing our best to be a guiding light to the many people that may be touched by this cancer to hopefully let a voice of reason resonate with them as they rise from the ashes, as every one of you listening has.
I just find it strange that someone would complain about normalizing a thing that actually a large amount of people in this chat, and I'm not arguing by popularity, but the sentiment is generally in agreement with us that to some extent we are just a product of nature. You know, nature has produced us, ergo we must be natural in some senses. We will actually further go on to this paragraph. So how can you be normalized to that? Is it just a case, again, that you, I thought it would be so simplistic, but is it maybe that you've not come across it before and therefore you find it weird? Which is fair enough, you're allowed to do that, but that doesn't mean that there is a subversive attempt at pushing it upon
right.
you. It just happens to exist in the circles.
Evelyn and I both completely agree that a homosexual lifestyle, a transgender lifestyle, degeneracy, all of that is bad. It is bad to not just, it's not only is it bad to teach to children actively, it is bad to simply allow and tolerate. We should build communities going forward being intolerant. We should encourage those who are different or have homosexual desires or whatever to keep that private and to do everything they can to find their place in a traditional natural hierarchy, to not be a part at all of how things are pitched to us and normalized and accepted in modernity. Evelyn and I both agree on that. So she and I are not any kind of subversive element here. We're doing our best to be voices of reason like everyone else that came from the ashes.
But anyway, the point he begins to get into in his text here is that Vola is describing what he refers to as sexuation, which is the degree to which, you know, how manly a man is or how female a woman is, which on the face of it sounds very childish, but in a certain sense he's describing both in a mental and a physical capacity what aspects of your person are actually reflectable and as male or female just outside of your DNA. So, I mean, I might just sort of read a couple of the sections here because I find it relatively interesting. We previously considered the constitution of individuals with regard to their sexuation, their degree to which they are men or women, as something performed and fixed. Now we must broaden the picture to include those cases in which certain changes become possible as a consequence of regressive processes, possibly favoured by certain general conditions in the environment, society and civilization. To begin with, we must form a precise idea about sex, which may be defined as follows. The fact that we find 100% male or 100% female individuals only in exceptional cases, and that in each individual we find residues of the other sex, is related to the fact, well known in biology, that the embryo is initially not sexually differentiated at all, but presents traits belonging to both sexes. The thing I always find interesting is the fact that the sexuation level actually differs between the races. Which I think is an immensely interesting thing, and I would like to know more about how that works, but it doesn't seem to exist as a line of study, funnily enough. But he continues on. Sexuation is produced only in a subsequent process, which seems to begin in the 5th or 6th month of gestation. Then the traits of one gender prevail and increasingly develop, while those of the opposite gender atrophy remain latent, as is widely known in the purely somatic sphere. Residues of the other sex are to be found, as for instance in the half-developed breasts of males and in the female clitoris. Thus, once a development is complete, the sex of the male or the female individual must be regarded as the effect of a predominant force which leaves its mark on this process, neutralising and excluding the originally coexistent possibilities of the other sex, particularly in the bodily physiological sphere. In the psychological sphere, the margin of fluctuation can be far broader. Now, the dominant power responsible for sexuation may be weakened due to a process of regression. Then, just as happens in the political sphere at the weakening of a central authority in a society, all the lower forces which had hitherto been in check may free themselves and resurface. In the individual, latent traits of other sex may emerge, and with them, a bisexual inclination. Thus, we will once again find the condition of the third sex, obviously a particularly fertile soil for the phenomenon of homosexuality. This precondition, then, is an inner yielding, a collapse of one's inner form, or rather of that forming power which manifests itself not only in sexuation, but also in one's character and personality, and having in one general a particular persona. Now, there's a further bit I want to discuss after this, but I think there is a very interesting point there to be looked at, which is that it's not, you know, the problem is not that there are trannies. The problem is that across the entirety of the, maybe not human mass, but maybe more possibly modern man and developed man, we are becoming less sexually differentiated or dimorphic, or however you want to phrase it,
correct,
than we were before.
Dimorphism is weakening in human beings, it seems. That's what I was talking about earlier, about with the entropic meshing of things through Kali Yuga.
But I just think
the breakdown of things, yeah.
I see no one discussing this phenomenon in our circles on this wider scale. And it would seem to me that if, you know, as I said before, that we are products of the ashes, then so is everyone else. I mean, this is, again, to piggyback off of AA's ideas constantly, but this is one of the things I think he's actually been very good on.
Hey, he's the Vince McMahon of the dissident right. Give credit where credit's due.
That's true. But, you know, he jokingly uses the phrase, or maybe not jokingly, who really knows, where he says that lots of people nowadays are essentially spiritual trannies, insofar as the fact that men now are not what men were in 1950s, and they aren't the men that
and
they
women
were
aren't
in
what women used to be.
Yeah, no, exact same. I mean, one of the things that always kind of annoys me, maybe I'll leave that until we go into a different thing.
I like Uncle Ted, and Uncle Ted talks about this too. In his manifesto, he talks about it, and in Anti-Tech Revolution, he talks about it. How technology and the quote-unquote progress of the Industrial Revolution and then mass communications, the medicines that we all take, all of the chemicals that are in our food, that are in our soap, that are in our... we are becoming something else. We are not what we used to be. And that's why I pushed back a little bit on someone in your chat a moment ago, living the dream, because we can't know if it's only quote-unquote progressive ideology that led us here. Because if you look at the natural advancement of ingenuity, art, creation, medicine, these were all traditionally not leftist and not progressive things. And they led us to having the tools and the science that led us to the quote-unquote new men that we've all become. So that's why I say it's not necessarily, you can't just point your finger at the left or at the Marxist or whatever and say, oh, this is all because of them. Kali Yuga was going to happen no matter what. If anything, you could say progressivism is just a symptom. But go on. I digress.
I mean, I'm not even wanting to get into the realms of, like, you know, here is why the Kali Yuga explains the existence of trans people or anything like that. But I think it's worth, you know, if we're really going to go to the realms of, you know, we are the products of the ashes, then everybody is the product of the ashes, and therefore there are logical consequences for that that Evola, I think, you know, gets into here. I mean, there's a latter portion of this I just want to read, but before that, I think towards the start of the chapter, there is a point where he discusses that, you know, to ask people to, you know, if, in the way that he measures it, that, you know, someone is physically male, but it constitutes some element of themselves that's 40% female, because that's just the nature of the way they are. To ask them to be more masculine than they already are is... it's sort of, in a sense, asking them to act out of their nature. And it's not like to suggest that there's a problem with telling people to man up. That is obviously, you know, that's perfectly fair. But to ask someone, again, say like ourselves, to, you know, even to come back to the Romans understood this, and this is why they used the term eunuch. It was to differentiate men who weren't capable of procreation. And that I'm... I have to make sure I don't lose my train of thought here.
I would say that to differentiate a male who was not capable of being a man. Because a female that can't be a woman is someone who can't give birth, who has other failings and can't perform in the traditional roles of a female. A eunuch was someone who could not perform the traditional role of the man. So the eunuch was not a man, but the eunuch was male. That's why I chose it.
That's what I'm saying, you know... They recognized that it was easier to classify these people as eunuchs because that was just the way that some of them were. and not necessarily that they accepted it in some positive sense, but they recognized it as just a part of how nature is in some sense. Mm-hmm. And that nature being what it is varies. You know, not all men are as masculine as all other men. Not all women are as feminine as all other women. And sometimes you have people who are massive overliers who maybe have more of some complete split of both, or more of the wrong one than the right one. And for that reason, it's more in their nature to act a certain way than another, which I know, again, sounds like a very childish and simplistic way to discuss it. But on that sort of sense of feeling and knowing who you are, I don't think it's particularly fair to just always think of that in every single case as, well, you're just nuts, or you've just got a fetish, which seems to be a base point that lots of people want to just refer to.
But
that sort of nature, you know, of psychologizing away the problem instead of just accepting it.
Yeah, and I think that while it is important for us to disallow and gatekeep perverts and degenerates and crazy people, it is equally important to realize who allies actually are, and you will know them by deed, and you will know them by, you will know them by truth.
Someone in chat's making the point here, you know, I'd rather blame it on grooming that happens in schools rather than metaphysical forces. But what you're doing there is what you're saying is one, that progressivism actually works, that you can take children that would otherwise be heterosexual and make them gay purely through programming and skills, which I actually don't think is possible.
I don't think it's possible, but I do think it's possible for a large percentage of children, both male and female, to be pushed into those things that are destructive, even if they aren't genuinely that way naturally.
Those things that constitute the metaphysical male character and the average man exist, though. We recognize that. So why is it that someone like myself or someone like yourself has a different metaphysical character? You know, I don't think you can just explain that away with, you know, progressive ideology or paedophilia.
I agree with you in that assessment. That's why I think that you can't deny that human nature is not something that we can fully understand yet. This is why I think that religion is so important. I think spirituality is so important, especially the older I get, because science and psychology, which I think is an anti-white institution just in general, but through science and psychology and sociology and all the ecological studies and anthropology, we can understand a lot about what humans have done, and we can speculate as to certain whys of human beings. But there is a cosmic spiritual ephemera that science cannot dictate to us. We cannot observe. We can't physically observe, like, the concept of dreaming and forethought and the unification of spirit when a large body of like-minded, powerful people come together. Science can only barely scratch the surface of that, of trying to explain that away. And so that, to me, that sort of goes along with what you're saying here, is there are going to be people that are going to be different or not fit the mold. And we certainly seem to be having more of those in great number, even in areas where you don't have the pause being pushed in schools. I grew up in a place where it might as well have been 1900, and I'm what I am. And in my tiny little mountain school, there was someone who was born female, and she had a mustache by the time she was 10 years old, and she looked like a young boy. Well, like, this is these things happen, and
I will leave that for later on once we're finished, and
I'll mention it. If I talk too much, Evelyn. I'm just trying to go off feel is appropriate.
It was just something I thought was funny, but I will leave it for the time being and mention it later. I will quickly get into this last bit, because I just want to read through this before we finish discussing. I mean, Des Point Vingles made in the chat, at least you seem to acknowledge that souls are sexed. I suppose this to be necessary for having a metaphysical female identity, even as someone with a male body. I mean, I don't know if... is that true? I don't know. But when I talk to people who are religious and they understand that what I do and the way I act and how I present myself is, you know, is genuine, that's the first thing they tend to assume. or suggest. So who knows on that front? But I shall continue on. And I didn't mean to interrupt. It was just I was going to say a funny joke and let you carry on, and then decided okay. that the joke wasn't worth mentioning.
Anyway. That's fine. Well, you can make it later, but let's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and finish the Evola thing. We'll do that.
In an egalitarian and democratized society, in the broader sense of the term, that should be a word everyone in this channel should know by now. In a society in which there are no longer any castes, functional organic classes or orders, in a society in which culture is standardized, extrinsic, utilitarian, and tradition is no longer a living, forming force, in a society in which Pindar's "be thyself" has become but a meaningless phrase, in a society in which character amounts to luxury that only fools can afford, whereas inner weakness is a norm. In a society, finally, in which whatever lies above racial, ethnic, and national differences has been replaced by what effectively lies below all this, and which, therefore, has a shapeless and hybrid character. In such a society, forces are at work that in the long run are bound to influence the very constitution of individuals, thus affecting everything typical and differentiated, even in the psychophysical field. Democracy is not...
I love Evola's writing. The way he phrases all this is just perfect.
Yes. Democracy is not a mere political and social fact. It is a general climate which, in a long term, is destined to have regressive consequences on the existential level itself, in the particular domain of the sexes. This can promote the kind of inner decay, the kind of weakening of the inner power of sexuation that, as is already noted, represents the premise for the emergence and spread of the third sex, and with it, of many truly striking forms of homosexuality in contemporary society. On the other hand, another consequence of all this is the visible trivialisation and primitivisation of normal sexual relationships between young members of the latest generations, on account of reduced attention due to the lower degree of polarity. Even certain strange phenomena, which were apparently very rare in the past, such as sex changes, men taking on female bodies and vice versa, may be understood in the same terms and traced back to the same causes. It is as though in today's general climate, the potentialities of the opposite gender contained within each of us has acquired an exceptional possibility of resurfacing and activating itself on account of the weakening of the central force, which even biologically defines one's type, to the point of replacing and changing the sex one was born with. If the argument made so far is a convincing one, in this case too, we are only to take this as a sign of the times, and to acknowledge the utter inanity of all moralising and socially repressive conformist measures. It is impossible to hold together the sand running through our fingers, no matter how hard we try. Rather, we ought to reach the level of first causes, of which everything else in all the various domains, including that of the phenomena just considered, is only a consequence, and act at that level, so as to produce an essential change. But this is tantamount to saying that the principle of everything ought to be overcoming of the present civilization and society, and the restoration of a differentiated, organic, and well-structured type of social organization through the intervention of a forming, living, central force. Now, this prospect increasingly seems like sheer utopia, since progress in all fields today tends increasingly in the opposite direction. Those who inwardly do not belong and do not wish to belong to this world have no choice but to note those general relations of cause and effect that escape our contemporaries in their blindness, and to calmly take stock of all that is sprouting forth, according to a clear logic, from the soil of a decaying world. Which is, you know, I think he summarises the point so well there, which is to at least, in some sense, on the simplest level, be reasonable. You know, don't just sit and waste your time knee-jerking at something that you can't stop. And furthermore, knee-jerking at something that isn't the central cause for a problem. You know, there needs to be some modicum of realism, and maybe not necessarily compromise, because I'm never a big fan of that term, but to grasp that you need to be against the singular causes, and you need to work against dealing with those in a fashion that doesn't leave you wasting your time. I mean,
yes.
Again, that point about the, you know, Ron DeSantis is doing that, is a don't say gay thing or whatever. Now, in principle, I support the idea of getting rid of LGBT education in public schools.
Okay, first of all, You're basing that on media lies. That's not even what the bill says. It just says that that sexual education and sexual instruction. That's all it says. It doesn't even say straight or gay in the bill.
Well, whatever it is, though, what it's done is, instead of totally getting rid of those lines of education, or, you know, redefining it so that sexual education is something to be done at home, all that's happened is you now just have an official age at which people can be taught sex education, which doesn't seem like a productive use of our time to me. You know, if there's going to be all this agitation energy around the issue, then we should at least make sure that it vents towards productive outlets. Not just, you know, plugging holes in the Titanic with bits of chewing gum.
Yeah.
You still there?
Yeah. Did you not hear me?
Hello? You said, I don't know, you sort of said, and then that's all I got.
No, I said, mm-hmm, because it felt like there was going to be more to that, like you were making a final point. I was just waiting.
I didn't really have anything else to add to that, to be honest.
Well, then I'll add to it that I think that where we've come in the conversation is a good time to segue to the difference between what we're talking about as a natural force and what people will do with, and what people should do as behavior.
Hmm.
People in the chat are still rather contentious and seem to think that we are trying to normalize or say you should accept gays in the dissident right. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that it is felonious to think that only because certain people are teaching certain things in the media and schools that we have seen a degradation, a deracination, a degeneration of the archetype that we come from traditionally. There are many other things that have contributing factors to this, and there might even be a cosmic spiritual one that we can't explain with science. And the reason why Evelyn chose to read the Evola passage here is to show that there are brilliant men who thought these thoughts 60 or 80 years ago and decided to write them down for us.
Mm.
So the whole point of why we're covering this is to show that there are unsullied people that were even cropping up and being noticeable to people long before the boomer truth regime. And I think that now the best thing that we can do is to say, if there are people who by demonstrable action are not against you and are contributing members to what you want to build with the traditional hierarchy or your based monarchy or whatever dissident thing you want to try to build, the actions need to speak above the orientation. So regardless of how someone was born, or maybe they had a trans arc, like my friend Evelyn here, maybe they had trans and intersex experiences because of a biological source like myself. Maybe someone used to be a heroin junkie and they did a lot of pornography when they were young. A lot of us came from the ashes and realized how evil and unacceptable it was. And so we amended our behavior.
Mm.
What, a person's natural orientation might be a homosexual heroin addict. But if they don't take actions to be that way, and they take actions to be better than that, and openly speak against that being normal, I think that is all that should matter to us living in the ashes and trying to build something better so we can have a future. What do you think about that?
I mean, I do get the point you're trying to make. I don't know if one has the natural predilection to being a heroin addict, but I suppose you're talking about people there who would be part of some kind of addiction awareness, who recognize their own inability to deal with, you know, regulating dopamine or something like that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that, like, you know,
a sexual orientation
or a gender problem is the same as being a heroin addict. I'm just saying there's probably some kind of biospiritual reason that some people are really drawn to being really, really hooked on drugs or just thinking they want to have sex with thousands of people and be some kind of sexual degenerate. Like, there's probably some kind of cosmic or biological source to a lot of that. So I don't think it's all, I'm not a blank slate person.
Mm.
I don't think that you can make someone whatever you want just with propaganda. I think that there has to be some kind of biological, spiritual reason for people that become things. I think there has to be both.
Mm. Well, exactly the point that the guy against Vingle and chat or whatever, and he's saying, you know, I just speak against it being normal, but I haven't remedied it. But that
Well, you can't remedy it.
Yeah, that label of transsexuality is just what I get sort of pinned with in the modern era. I would still act in the same sense and see myself in a similar sense because it's my own personal problem that I am dealing with, and this is the way that I'm dealing with it. And in being so is the only way that I can be a functional person, for what it's worth. You know, the fact that I mm-hmm. have come to some kind of terms with that is the reason I can then be, you know, a functional and coherent person that can benefit, you know, these very circles.
And just let me use my own experience and my own words to support what you're saying. Just because I have an intersex condition that led me to being how I am, my choices, my active choices led me to stay in and to embrace the female socket of society, the same as Evelyn. Even though I had a bad reaction to the androgens when we tried to masculinize me, I also made a very terrible man. People had thought I was female since I was a little kid. I couldn't grow a mustache well. I couldn't do a lot of things that men could do. I had breasts and hips. I could not be a man well, and it didn't fit. It wasn't a good fit. So was I right to choose one over the other because of situation, because it made me feel better, because it allowed me to have a more normal life where I could actually function? If I tried to be the gender that my sex was more like, I would have probably ended up in prison or have killed myself by now. And then I wouldn't be here helping organize. I wouldn't be here helping speak the truth. I wouldn't be here as a guiding light to help other degenerates out of the ashes. So would it have been better for me to try to be a man? No. It would have ended with me being a miserable failure in prison or dead, and I would not be able to help anybody. Mm. So we have to make the choices in the ashes. We are all children of the ashes. We have to make the wisest, most healthy choices we can with what's in front of us. And I think Evelyn made the right choices, just like I think I made the right choices.
Oh, but isn't it just like a fetish, bro?
Well, oh. For a lot of people it is, and those are disgusting weirdos that wouldn't be here talking like this.
Well, see, this is, again, the one thing I constantly take issue with, and I wish people were able to grasp more, and I can understand why they don't, because without the perspective of someone like myself or yourself, you don't quite grasp the distinction. But the whole, like, anime turning men and trans people, no, it's not. It's young men who would otherwise be some form of perverted weirdo being the version of a perverted weirdo that they're being sold. And I would say that's different from the whole grooming children from a young age thing that people were saying in the chat earlier on. The people being disgusting coomers and having a venting process for the disgusting coomer behavior is the problem. It's not the way they choose to vent that. You know, the people are, again, they're taking issue with the fact that men are watching anime and doing that. But if, say, they were, I don't know, if they were all
don't
just...
Don't start the anime question, we'll be here all night.
But if they were all just jacking it to, like, nudie mags, then maybe in a certain sense it's not as subversive or as evil or however people want to see it, or not as degenerate. But there is still the same problem there of young men wasting their time and energy just becoming degenerate coomers. So my issue maybe that is probably related to most of the arguments I've made this evening is that people aren't willing to generalize the problem back to the actual human behavior that they have an issue with. They would rather just label it as gay or degenerate or 41% or whatever, laugh at it, and then pretend that they've fixed the problem. I don't know whether or not you see, shall we say, similar behavior in any of the circles you're in.
Yes and no. The circles that I'm in, there are only a couple of gender mutants, myself being one of them. And when it comes to the talk about us, the people that I work with are positive minded folk who want to build and do positive things for moral reasons. So I'm not really around a bunch of haters or internet spurgs hardly ever, except when I do streams. Mm. The people in the White Wellbeing community I talk to privately and build with, the people in my local area I build with, they all know exactly who and what I am. And the couple of people engaged in this broad dissection of communities I'm engaged with, there are two other, let's call them alphabet people, former alphabet people. And their actions bear fruit. They are no longer degenerates. They don't participate in degenerate things. And nobody in my circles cares or talks about it negatively or acts like it's a problem. So the only pushback or hate that I get is from a particular element, like the person who AA recently talked to, who gave both me and you shit on a stream, and internet spurgs in chats that seem to have opinions that they are oh so eager to share. So, that's really the only negativity that I get in any of these dissident nationalist or monarchy circles that we talk in.
But yeah, I mean, not just personally directed, but also sort of on the grander scale of how does one just treat the issue? I mean, I tried.
Oh, it doesn't come up. Like that's what I mean. Is it doesn't really come up because we're all focused on the like. I like a lot about nationalism and. And I'm very inclined to the non-war machine, early NatSoc type of structure of make everything about the folk and the community and grow from there. And the like-minded people in the white well-being community, in the dissident community that I am building with, like a couple of Mises libertarians are in my crew too. The things that we are building, they are absolutely in service to the norm, traditional norms of patriarchs, subservient females to dominant males. And I don't mean that in like a gross or violent way. I mean, the way that the natural order is supposed to work. Mm. And the things that we build and what we're putting together, this type of talk never even comes up. We never even entertain the idea that we need to worry about or gatekeep any type of gay talk or anything from this circle. It's just, we're all focused on the same kind of thing. And that kind of talk never comes up. It's never a speed bump or a problem with anybody I talk to privately or build with, and I don't hear it being an issue outside of the places I mentioned earlier. So I just, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't exist to me. Maybe I just don't see what you see sometimes. I don't know.
I know, maybe I focus too much on the trucks or the rabble, as it may be referred to. Someone's got the right idea, though.
Let me do my best AA accent here. Step over, Evelyn. Step over.
Yes. Someone's got the right idea in chat, though. I think there should be a place for based alphabet people to play a white hat shaman role. Yeah, that's basically, basically
yeah,
it.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's, you know, in a certain sense, I look at it, I mean, having discussed it with people, because I will never have, you know, a traditional household. It's just not, within my role and remit of who I am as a person and what I'm capable of, so...
Yeah, it's not possible for us. It's just not in the cards.
But what is in the cards is me literally dedicating, you know, however long I'm going to be around, I hope for quite a while, to doing this stuff.
So.
To reading,
yeah, exactly.
To writing, as I have done for the last, like, a year and a half, 2 years now, on top of all the stuff I had done beforehand, but especially in the last sort of 18 months or so, it's become much more conscious to take on the effort of reading with the goal of then producing written or spoken content or whatever else. And I think... that both yourself and myself will speak for ourselves and our actions, because in 15, 20 years' time from now, who's still going to be around in these circles that we're in? I presume I'm going to be around. I would imagine you would be.
I plan to be, yeah. I want to show...
And I could imagine
that... Year after year, I want us to show people what we've built together. Like, look, I have brought these communities together. I'm building parallel with these people that want to build parallel. I've helped influence A, B, C, D, and E. I've helped push the Go Free lexicon. I've helped people from suicide. I've helped people move away from degenerate homosexual and transsexual lifestyles. I am my actions bear positive fruit that the people in the dissident communities like. So we will be known by our dedication as the unsullied warriors of the dissidents.
But I mean, in the sense that some of those people who come across with more militant and frankly unproductive positions ought to either probably change their behavior in short order when they do start to really work with people in the real world around them, or they will just get phased out and will become insignificant. I mean, we will always have the last laugh. I can assure you of that. I've got, I think, a couple of chats left to read over from donations. So I don't know, have you got any other things you'd want to discuss in relation?
No, I think this was a wonderful stream, and we've covered pretty much everything that I wanted to talk about, and we even had some good chat engagement, and some of the dissenting trucks led me to having a bit of a soapbox to speak my mind about things that I want people to hear. So, yeah,
I mean,
I feel very successful in this stream. I think we've covered what we wanted to cover. We've shared some good Evola, some good spiritual cosmic talk. We've shared some good based in reality. We have to deal with what is sort of pragmatic in the ashes talk. And also, we both got to talk about the things that are important to us personally and where we came from. So that covers the few bullet points on my list I wanted to go over.
I mean, I would generally suggest that if anyone who's currently watching this or is watching it in the future and has genuine questions in the sense of, they aren't actually just looking to be a prick about it, actually feel free to ask either myself or yourself about it, because you might find that we're a bit more kind of, as we've tried to explain to this stream, circumspect about the whole view. And that was, again, my attempt to bring that bit of Evola in so that people could maybe hopefully recognize that in some part.
I hope so. Yeah.
Before I forget as well, I will quickly find the link. Da-da-da-da-da. Let's not play the word stream back itself. I will post the link in chat for the Telegram channel. I'm going to presume most of the people here have got here from the Telegram channel anyway, because that's where I am most of the time. Because Twitter doesn't like me anymore, and fuck them, to be honest.
Yeah, not a fan.
Nah. I made too many jokes about killing Trunes, and they didn't like that, so.
Yeah, they don't take kindly. They don't take kindly to those of us who speak positively in constructive ways about Western kind. And I've lost so many Twitter accounts. It seems like they purge me about every year. About every 10 or 11 months, they get rid of my account. It's getting harder and harder to keep a presence there.
Got two chats here from Glowy. One is a queer hypothesis makes absolutely no sense if you think about it. Believing the reasoning we as humans have the hetero tendencies is by indoctrination, which makes no sense because it's a natural biological response to breed in all species. Yeah, that was the
Yeah, of
a
course.
relation to the point I was making earlier on, in that, in the same sense that one doesn't have to propagandize people into being straight, one then probably can't propagandize people into being straight, and vice versa.
Yeah, I
There's
agree.
other
I
chat
think
there.
people can be pressured into doing gay things, but I don't think that they can be pressured
I
into
mean, you can make them say stuff.
biospiritually becoming something they're not.
You can make them say stuff on a survey, but there is obviously the revealed preference and the stated preference distinction, which always should always be considered in any issue, I think.
Yes.
Glowy's other chat is, LGBT communities only arise if a civilization has met the basic demands of survival on a constant basis, with no outside pressures, and usually have excess energy without any real beneficial outlet other than entertainment. A very Ted Kaczynski surrogate activities point, and also
Yes.
noticing the point from Alul, which is that, you can't engage in mass propaganda programs against a populace who's too busy caring about their fields to tend.
Yes,
And
and
then.
that's another reason I like parallel building is because you show people that, if you focus on building life and celebrating life in the traditional archetype, like Mennonites and the Amish and the Hasidic Jews and people like that, if you focus on that, then you're almost completely immune to the primary weapon that they use against us, which is the mind war, because you're too busy focusing on what life is supposed to be about. And that's why I'm trying to get as many people as I can building that kind of life here in Appalachia with me. Because I want to show others the way by spending my time and energy to do it.
And then one last chat from Glow in the Dark. Suggestion: catalogue the books you guys go over and quick rundown of what goes over for easier citation for later for us all, for all us. I generally try to make sure I make mention of all the sources I use. I will at least mention the author and the title, and I will always show it on screen. I mean, I did earlier on, I said it was from Evola's The Bow in the Club from the chapter The Third Six. You can basically find a PDF of that anywhere online. So, I don't think I really have anything else much to say. I think we've hopefully touched on a couple of points, and as I suggested earlier on, people can feel free to message either myself or yourself with any further questions about it, really. I don't know. Maybe we'll get some sort of weird response stream from someone, and we can engage in weeks loads of drama and make
Yeah,
loads of
I would
stonks.
like that. I think that we've talked about important stuff for a little over an hour. We have some good community engagement. Well, I think we should tie it off here. Definitely, we should talk about stuff like this or another topic that we both have insight and passion for later. We have a good rapport together. I like working with you. And for those of you that don't know, Evelyn was on my channel over a year ago. She was, I forget the number of the episode. Was it 36, 32? But on my unit Corner Club, where I bring on content creators and give them a spotlight. And I think that it's important for us to keep conversations like this alive, because no doubt a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, there are going to be people from the ashes that need to hear what we say. And we should keep talking about this and keep the conversation alive between us. So and let's go ahead and tie it off here. We'll do another stream, and like you said, we might get some higher profile pushback and have something else to talk about. We'll see.
Other than that, I would just once again thanks everyone for showing up and watching. There's R Rashul Munsanen saying he's here from the deepest lore. Good to hear. The handoff has worked. The Vince McMahon and is the other guy, Rupert Murdoch connections, they're all working. But thanks for
Yeah.
everyone showing up, the few people that have donated, the people that are members. We should hopefully have a pretty decent stream on Thursday. I have quite a few sources to go over about. People might remember I wrote an article about May last year about cryptocurrencies and some of the issues I had with them. I think actually I talked in your stream about that at one point. But I have more stuff because events have unfolded and I have essentially been proven correct. And we will all enjoy me gloating in my correctness on Thursday. And
Okay. I'll be here if I can.
I will see you all there.
And before we bounce, please subscribe to me on YouTube and on Odyssey.
Yeah, I've
A lot of
got
my content is not on YouTube that Evelyn linked here. A lot of my content is on DLive, Odyssey, and Entropy only, because I talk the truth about a lot of things that would get my channel even more strikes on YouTube. So I do things that are safe to put on YouTube, but most of the things that I do that are important, or talking about news or important events or organizing around pro-white stuff, that all takes place off of YouTube. So if you'd like to hear me and want to know more about me, definitely come to my fun streams on Monday night. Those are Discordant Dragon streams. It's a lot of fun. We laugh about Clown World. We have some good times. That's Mondays. And tonight, though, because I spent all weekend having that big event, we're doing a community stream tonight. So I will be live on YouTube for a change tonight. So you can come over here in a couple hours, and we're going to have a celebration community stream with a whole bunch of people tonight. And with that being said, thank you, Evelyn, for having this conversation with me. And thank you all for your great questions and your input, even if I disagreed with you. And I hope to have another great one like this with you again in the future.
All right. Thank you for coming on. Goodbye.
Goodbye.